Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Monday, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Jaguars Today kicking off 2 weeks from today. Quarterbacks, rookies report for training camp. The rest of the squad about 4 days later, or 3 or 4 days later, and we'll be underway with the 2015 NFL season. Glad you're along with us, Fat Tony. This is a rare occasion. Fat Tony doesn't go anywhere, very usually anyway, and he's taking the week off, and he's actually going to go, I believe, watch the U.S. men's national soccer team in action in the Gold Cup. I don't know if it's in the quarterfinals or if they make it to the semifinals. I think they're in the quarterfinals, or they're guaranteed to be in the quarterfinals right now after the couple of wins in group play. So Tony's off this week. Hope you missed me on Thursday and Friday. I missed you all greatly. You know that. That's the case. Come on, Joe Fortunato's telling me how sad everyone was around here
last
Thursday and Friday. Tyler, you're a liar.
Hey, how was the golf?
You know, it was interesting. The golf was actually pretty good, okay? And I actually birdied 17 for the second consecutive time, right?
Nice.
So I know, right? So, you know, I hit it okay. It's all right. But I got to play the stadium course last Thursday over at Sawgrass. So took the day off with my regular golfing buddy. We went out there. But it was a mixed emotion kind of weekend, Tyler. In all seriousness, I got a message from Donna Murphy that a good friend of mine had called up the station while I was out on the golf course and passed along some bad news. There's a group of us. It calls kind of the Four Musketeers that I've got three really, really close friends from high school. And they're pretty much the only high school friends that I stay in touch with, that I actually speak to, that I actually occasionally see from time to time. You know, you got a few people that you reconnect with on Facebook and all that, and you like their silly pictures and all that stuff, but it doesn't really go much beyond that as far as rekindling the friendship and all that. But found out my good friend Phil's father passed away actually a few days ago, a few days prior to Thursday, and the funeral is going to be on Friday, so I ended up going down there. And of all things, my friend Bill, who's the best man at my wedding, there were four of us. Two of us were the best men at each other's weddings. The other two were the best men at each other's weddings. And we've all been great friends all these years, you know, since the early 80s, I guess it's been. And so my buddy Bill lives up in Northern Virginia, and he's a teacher, which if you knew him in high school, you'd never believe that he's involved in shaping the minds of the youth of America in some way, shape or form. But I called him up. I got home on Thursday around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I called a couple of friends to give him the news. And he's 2 hours later, he called me back. He said, "Can I stay at your place? I'm driving down from Northern Virginia." So he showed up Friday morning, and we showed up together at the service on Friday, which was I think nice for my friend and his mom to have us there. So, you know, life flies by, brother. That's all I'm saying right there. It's nothing, not breaking news. Plenty of people out there have dealt with loss and all that stuff. And I wasn't particularly close with my friend's dad, but I felt bad for him. You know, I lost my dad a long, long time ago, and I've long since come to grips with that. But, you know, time marches on, and we all get together and we say, oh, man, you know, we got to get together more often. Yeah, we're liars, right? We're big fat liars. It took me an hour and 15 minutes, I think, to drive from my house down to the service, which is in Sanford, Florida. And it's not far at all. And they're right there. Heck, you know what? I've got a niece and a nephew that live right here in Jacksonville with my brother-in-law and his wife, obviously, their kids. And I practically never see them, and they live 30 minutes from me. It's crazy. Got to make some more time for family outside of the immediate family. I'm not talking about the Jaguars Today family with guys like John Osher. He's got his own domestic issues going on right now, I think. I don't know how much of a handyman he is. Apparently couldn't get out of the garage this morning or couldn't get it closed. I'm not sure how it all went down. Johnny O, how are you?
It's been a whole thing.
Has it been a whole thing?
It was a thing yesterday where, you know, you hit the button and as it goes down, it closes and opens right back up.
Oh, a little kind of like a bounce back effect.
Yeah,
did it go down a little too hard, maybe? Or?
I guess I, you know, so that took an hour and a half, and I invented some new words while I was doing that. So.
Yeah, are you a person who parks their car actually in the garage?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Who are you?
Well,
who are you that you have enough space in your garage to fit a car? I don't understand.
In all honesty, the habit began when we were in Indiana for 10 years, where you sort of. The weather
kind of have to, right?
Sort of forces it.
Yeah.
Or the weather and the wife sort of force it.
All right. She doesn't want to walk out, defrost the car in the morning. She wants to hop in nice, warm garage,
it's
relatively
really
warm.
Convenient for a few months in Indiana.
Oh, sure it is.
To be able to be inside, the whole thing. So
I guess I envy people who have the ability to keep their garage uncluttered enough to actually use it for its express conceived purpose.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle choice.
All right. You're doing a nice job.
So opposite problem this morning, all of a sudden I fix it yesterday, or so I think, and then I come out this morning and it's a different closing issue involving sensors at the bottom of the door, so... it's not really fixed.
Man up and park it in the driveway.
Yeah, it's,
Still going to have to deal with it. I understand.
Yeah.
Right? See, for me, I'd be like, well, here's my solution. I won't use the garage door for a while, right?
Right. That would be my solution. That's probably not an argument I'm going to have with a wife.
That was my next point.
Right.
Right. We always lose that.
I don't win that.
Right. We're not bachelors. Although I did play a bachelor for the last week. It was actually kind of nice. You know, my wife and kid.
It wasn't kind of nice. Well, it was really nice.
It was extremely nice. My wife and kid were up in North Carolina with the in-laws. They're great people. Love them to death. And I was just saying, I had a friend of mine, his father passed away, and my buddy from high school, my best man at my wedding, drove down from Virginia. And we're all sitting, like the four of us who are really close since high school. One of the last times I can remember all four of us being together was back when back in '99, watching Jaguar football.
Wow,
you know, really just and that's been
cool.
A while.
Yeah, you don't get that very often. That's cool.
The circumstances were odd, but it's nice to know that life passes you by, man.
Yep.
Everyone's they could be right down the street and.
Well,
you gotta make time to see people.
I've got a few friends the same way, and we've known each other since we were 15, 16 years old. All live in the same town and see each other once a year, which we hate, but that's how life works.
I was just saying, I've got a niece and a nephew, and their folks, my brother-in-law and his wife, who live here, right here in Jacksonville, they're 30 minutes from me,
right?
And once or twice a year, maybe, I mean, I saw him at Thanksgiving, saw him all at Thanksgiving, I think, and then I saw the kids.
And you always promise, oh, we'll do it sooner.
Oh, yeah. Now, I mean, that's just the way it goes, man. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got their own thing going on. We got our own thing going on this morning on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. Get to a story that popped up last Friday in the London Evening Standard. We'll get to that coming up. But we can't do it justice in the next couple of minutes. Today, John, we're 2 weeks away from QBs and rookies reporting on that Monday, and then the rest of the team will be in on Thursday. And so we're less than 3 weeks away from the first full practice, which will be open to season ticket holders, excuse me.
You're special.
They are special.
Yeah.
Right, special season ticket holders.
Right.
If you bought a season ticket,
you're special.
Right.
And
so you can show up for that one on July 31st. Today's question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, ask people which position battle going into training camp do they think will be the most hotly contested. So we'll kind of lay out the landscape where we even think position battles. I know they say competition at every position, but you can pretty much lock in a good number of starters on this football team. So we'll kind of go through today and look at which ones we think even present a battle and which ones we think will be some of the better ones. One of the Buffalo Bills position coaches getting in a lot of trouble over the weekend. Aaron Kroner accused of punching an underage kid, a minor, they don't say his specific age, over a beach chair and threatening to kill his family. Sounds like hot water coming his way. And we'll tell you who thinks Blake Bortles may have gone from overrated to underrated. I don't know when he was ever overrated. When could he have been overrated? Coming out, maybe because he was drafted third overall in the draft, and that was higher than some people expected.
Sounds like a nice headline for Page View.
We've already got an overrated to underrated selection, a nomination for Blake Bortles. But I'd rather have him say, hey, now he's underrated than the opposite.
Just rate him.
Just rate him.
Right.
Just however rate him, you rate him. Just rate him, baby. Rate him accurately. All right. He is John Osier. I'm Mike Dempsey along with Tyler Devitt, Fat Tony off all week long, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. If you'd like to get on board today, 641-1010 is the phone number. That also, of course, is the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. You can tweet the show at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, and at Tyler, or 1010XL Tyler, and answer the question of the day in terms of the position battle. You think it will be the most hotly contested, which one you'll have your eye closest on when training camp opens up in just a couple of weeks. All right, there you go. Jaguars today off and running live at Everbank on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Mike Dempsey and the Ozone, Johnny O, your senior writer for Jaguars.com here with you. Fat Tony with the week off. Tyler Devitt is along. Get to everything Jaguar-related and NFL-related coming up over the next 2 hours right here. Oh, missing the opportunity to be in Hoover, Alabama today for SEC Media Day.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Yep.
The crush of humanity to talk to some of those
It's funny.
I covered kids.
I covered two SEC Media Days when I was on the beat way, way back when. And it was a big deal, but it was not a crush of humanity. It was me and, you know, a bunch of other SEC beat writers that probably totaled 100 and a few radio guys, and I had some beers in the hotel bar with Frangie.
And you got great access. Right?
Yeah.
And that was the thing, right?
Yeah.
You got great access. The writers, you guys are looking, and this is my view of watching the proceedings over the years. You know, the room where the print room, they call it, is the biggest room there. And most of the guys have an idea for what kind of story they're going to write, or they're looking for certain kinds of quotes. And so that's all.
They're usually covering their own team, and they've got sort of specific angles. They haven't talked to the head coach probably since before, you know, probably since a booster meeting 3 or 4 weeks out. But this is where they try to generate the latest news on suspensions, things like that, specific angles, correct.
Yeah. And for me, as from a radio perspective, we always, you know, you try to get a guy to sit down with you one-on-one for 5 minutes, and that's all you need, usually,
overview,
in most of these cases.
More than specific.
And just get more of a sense of their personality rather than a canned answer or what have you. And it's just gotten more and more difficult to do. You know, you compare to the Super Bowl, there is... you know, in terms of Radio Row, there's no less media at SEC Media Days. There are less radio outlets, but there's more media all pulling at the same pool of people. When a guest comes to Radio Row at the Super Bowl, the print writers don't have access to them. It's you know, you've got 50 competing radio outlets, but that's 50, and there may be 25, 30 guys on the floor at any given time.
That's
right?
Crazy.
To pull from...
I can remember Jack Jackson was the star that they brought that year. I think back then they brought
Media Days
one guy.
For the Gators?
Yeah, and he was a wide receiver. You know, Florida fans would know him. He was a wide receiver, I think fourth-round drafted by the Bears. Very fast guy. And I can remember, you know, it's been 22 years, but me, a guy from Sports Illustrated, maybe a couple of guys from the local beat, before he went into the main room, just kind of sitting outside and just sort of
shooting the breeze,
talking to him.
Yeah.
5, 10, 15 minutes, very casual. I don't even think we used it, but I can't imagine what you're telling me that scenario would ever exist.
Oh, not anymore. I don't think. I mean, you just fight for what you can get, and everybody's fighting for the same handful of players. And for
it's kind of cool for the fans, because I think in this day and age, it's become. Media things like that have become different. Now it's about there's the event, people know it, people look forward to watching the highlights on TV, maybe even the live stream. They look forward to sort of a Twitter burst, I call it, when somebody's on. You can follow it on Twitter. If you're following the right guys, all of a sudden you feel like there's action happening.
Right, you're almost like you're right there, you're getting it in real time.
It's almost like an event. I don't know that brings you the depth that maybe was brought 15, 20 years ago when it was smaller.
Right.
But I really don't think Southeastern Conference cares about the depth. I'm sure they just want the mega hit and to be perceived as important, and the event big time feel that sort of plays into it being the biggest conference in football. For the fan, I don't know that they get cheated very much. I think the fan kind of looks at, oh, it's a cool event. It's the start of football season. It builds the hype. for us, it sort of hurts because I think getting the depth and getting the one-on-one was more interesting to us.
Right. Certainly for me, right. from the radio perspective, it would be. And, you know, I think different
but
schools...
But those fans don't care about us.
Well, no, but what we're going to deliver to them, you know, I'm sure Frank and company are going to try to get as many guys to sit down with them as possible because it's those... When you get a guy to sit down with you and
Is
put
Hacker
a headset
there?
On, it's a little bit different. I frankly don't know. Tyler, yeah. Who's there? Do we know? Who's the whole...
Well, if Hacker's there, it might hurt getting guys.
Well, I don't, are you kidding me? Hacker or Warman? Hacker has...
That's right.
A lot of pull with the independent Florida Alligator. He'll tell you all about that story.
The crew is Frangie, David Lamb, Big Country, and Chad Scott and Tom Champion. That's the crew, 1010XL.
Hacker's not at SEC Media Days. Is he in mourning this week?
I have no idea where Hacker is. Maybe he's eating tomato with sriracha somewhere.
Perhaps he is. It's his new favorite combination out there. But whatever the case, some schools treat it differently than others. Some schools, they get it. They bring the story, guys. The guys that we want to talk to. You know,
unless it's a bad story.
Well, true. But, I mean, Florida's been like this for a long time, but other schools are the same way. They will say, well, we're bringing so-and-so because we're rewarding this senior athlete, this
right.
student athlete. It's like, look, that's not the point of this. It's not a
right.
reward. There's not a bowl game.
Remember the worst, you'd be standing there, all of a sudden they'd bring in, like, the senior fifth-year left guard.
Right, or anyone from Ole Miss or, you
right.
know,
yeah,
at various times,
right.
you know. So, anyway, listen for coverage of that all day with Frank Frangie and crew out there at SEC Media Days. I know you addressed this with Tony on Friday, but I wanted to bring it up because this happened while I was gone, and I wasn't sure what the timing was on
sure.
Friday. But the London Evening Standard put out a story on Friday that if you read – the story and you read the headline, they weren't necessarily, looking exactly the same. The headline said, revealed, : Fulham owner Shad Khan wants to buy Tottenham and relocate Jacksonville Jaguars to White Hart Lane. As if this was a breaking exclusive in the London Evening Standard.
It was exclusive. I mean, it was exclusive.
They
Everybody
were the only ones
it.
Writing it.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Well, I think I called it the London Daily Standard in my story, or...
And it probably is, but maybe they have an evening edition or something
I was probably in error, which is sort of fitting in this case.
Yes.
To be in error.
Well,
I was going along with, yeah.
In the very third paragraph of the story, James Ollie, I'm sure he's a fine investigative reporter for the Evening Standard, points out that the owner of the team has no desire to sell the team.
Right.
And then they bury, way down at the bottom of the story, a quote through Shad Khan spokesman Jim Woodcock that, let me find the exact wording on this, but basically, it's ridiculous rubbish is what it is.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, and I addressed this in the Ozone on Saturday.
Total nonsense and complete fiction.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, that was Jim's immediate tweet on the matter, which they might be quoting there. You know, I think Ryan O'Halloran on Friday in a blog post on it probably said it best. This sort of story is probably not going to go away. As long as the Jaguars are playing a game a year in London, which I think they're going to do for a while, then every time something sort of happens with a stadium of the size that could take an NFL team, which Tottenham is, there's going to be people who write that because he's over there. He owns Fulham. It's a presence. It's a hot topic. He's a very wealthy guy. You know, but for fans who have anxiety about this, which there are, I get Ozone questions about it. I understand the anxiety. If I was not paying attention to it all the time, I'd probably have the same anxiety. But we talked about it during the break. If Shad Khan were planning to try to get the Jaguars out of here, it's one of the most elaborate, needless ruses in the history of ruses. When you consider the video boards, the commitment to the fan experience here, everything he has said, the Shipyards proposal, which he wants to basically reinvent downtown Jacksonville, I don't know why he would do that if there were some other plan. Are you following me?
Oh, I absolutely follow
And I'm getting way
you.
Too detailed on it and giving this story way too much.
Oh, I don't think you are.
But I get enough questions about it that you start thinking, okay, you know, I get people's anxiety, but you also have to understand somebody's motivation. And Shahid Khan could certainly have done a lot less to build the structure of this organization here, even going outside the walls of this building now and trying to revitalize an entire area and community just to move. It just doesn't balance, you know. And there's going to be people, as you said, the conspiracy theorists, there's going to be people who don't believe that. And that's, you know, you can't control that. But, you know, Jim Woodcock immediately tweeted, and Jim Woodcock is Shahid Khan's main spokesman, for lack of a, you know. And Tony Khan over the weekend also tweeted about the Khan's commitment to Fulham itself. Didn't tweet much about the Jaguars, but he wasn't tweeting trying to necessarily shoot down the story. He was just tweeting about the Fulham situation. It's too bad that a story like this breaks and sort of causes people anxiety, because breaks isn't even the right term. I don't even know what to call a story like this where it there's
surfaces.
Really just
no,
it, yeah. Yeah, there's really just nothing
right
there once you look at it. So I've probably rambled too much. We probably spent too much time on something that is really something anybody could write if they so chose. Most people don't write something without a little more substantiation.
Yeah, that's the thing. It seemed very weak on, you know, stuff, like facts and much of anything.
But the English tabloids are written in a different way with different rules, I think it's safe to say, in terms of what they will allow in. This, to me, read more like what we think of in the States as an internet blog post from a non-newspaper, non-mainstream media source.
Right. Right, so, which makes sense.
Which everybody can do what they want to do. I mean,
look, if Shahid Khan, put it this way, let's say he was playing the long con, pun intended, right, and was trying to show you, oh, I'm doing all these things while trying to rip the rug out from under you at the last minute. Shahid Khan were to move the team ever to London, okay, which I'm not suggesting that's ever going to happen.
Which neither of us are, correct.
Correct. But if he were to, well, the vast majority of the Jaguar fan base would be some combination of angry, hateful, resentful. They'd be crushed. They'd have no love for Shahid. You know what I mean? So no matter what you did to build up goodwill, if your sole intention was to always move, you're going to be the bad guy eventually anyway.
Right.
No matter, they're not going to say, well, at least he left us some nice video boards. They're not going to care about that. They're going to say, where's our football team? So there's nothing. What does he care? As if you look at him, a guy who had no connection to Jacksonville, if his sole goal was to come in here, poach a franchise and move to London, and why would he even care about what the people of Jacksonville thought ultimately?
And And there's just too much work that's gone on, you know, with taking leaders to London to try to build up. And it's not something we need to talk about the entire show today, but background things in terms of the business side, in terms of trying to strengthen the community, things that have gone on. Many, many hours and days and weeks spent doing things like that don't need to be done, except that the intention is real.
Now, that being said, we could see the Jags certainly playing at Tottenham, right? Because their deal at Wembley extends this season and next season, right? And that then the Wembley deal is done. Doesn't mean it won't be extended at Wembley, but we know there are going to be two games a season at the Tottenham locale. So maybe if the Jags continue, which is their desire to play a game, a single game a season.
Certainly
over
past
there,
2006, certainly past
2016,
yeah, 2016,
right. So this could be a locale where they play games.
Sure.
Peter King wrote today that the league's going to explore using Twickenham Stadium, which is an 82,000-seat rugby venue on the outskirts of London, and that basically there are multiple venues there. And depending on how many games they ultimately play league-wide, they could use all these places. Peter King, I found it was interesting as well. He said, by the way, the NFL would consider a game or two in Germany, if the local TV response is good, as this is the first season that a package of two games every Sunday will be on TV live throughout Germany. So they're
And I wouldn't be surprised if you had a situation where other franchises also had extended agreements, multi-year agreements, in other areas.
I think when they look at the bottom line and what it's done for the Jags' infusion of capital,
right.
Why wouldn't you?
And
if you're struggling to raise, you know,
if you're either struggling or if you think that having a foot in the international market is a good thing, which, you know, I understand. I get emails about this a lot. Why do people need a foot in the international market? The game is popular here in the States. Well, there's also a thought in the league that you don't necessarily want to just be focused on this market because Asia and Europe and, you know, there's a big world out there beyond the United States. So to have a foothold and have a presence in this untapped market, wiser heads than mine, which, believe it or not, there are many of those, believe that that's not a bad thing.
Not hard to believe in the least.
No, I understand.
Also,
I can't even fix my garage.
I heard this weekend, did you see the report that the Jags' opponent next year will be Green Bay in London? Have you seen? Did you see
potentially.
That this weekend?
Is that
a potential?
Done?
I don't know if that's a done. I didn't see that necessarily as a done deal, but that was a speculation.
Was that in Ryan's post?
I'm trying to remember where I saw that. I'll look that up.
Well, I mean,
quickly
and
here.
What I read, and I was not absolutely immersed in the news this weekend, but I did read that Ryan wrote that he would, I thought he wrote that he wouldn't be surprised or expected it to be the opponent in London that next year, but he may just be looking at the schedule and, you know, giving it a good
kind
guess.
Of speculating, basically, because they're
a smart guy. He might be right.
Well, certainly might be right, and that's the one thing you hate to see, though, is that as a Jaguar fan, you're giving up the one home game. Why does it have to be among the most marquee games?
Yeah.
If the game is going to survive and thrive in London at whatever level the NFL allows it to, it's going to have to survive based on every kind of matchup. You can't always present, you know, Patriots-Seahawks, battle of the
Super
Bowl.
If my memory serves, I don't think the Packers have played over there in this series, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember them playing over there.
Not sure if they have or not. I can't recall them playing
over
there.
So there's probably a push because they're so popular everywhere internationally, whatever, because of their popularity, there may be a feeling we need to get them over there at least once.
All right,
but
let's,
a fan here, I understand them saying, why does it have to be this game?
Let's move on from that and talk about some other stuff, including a story in SI.com from last week about Blake Bortles in part and why he may be a breakout candidate for 2015. We'll get to that coming up next. He's John Osier. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. We're live at EverBank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars today continues Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. Here on the program, live from EverBank, Wild West Guns and Gold, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. They've got everything from revolvers to sporting arms, everything in between, semi-autos, rifles, shotguns, you name it. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA. That's guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns, as John Osier knows. Go to guns4jax.com. Guns, the number
can
4.
Can you trade it for a new garage door opener?
.com. That's a good question.
I'd love to.
Hey, maybe we can get a combo deal. You get a new garage door opener. I get a new desktop PC.
That'd be good.
Here at the stadium. I don't need to keep it for me personally.
No, I understand.
Like when I eventually get kicked out of the building and they change the security code, I will not be able to take it with me. I understand that. But in the meantime.
For clarity's sake, what you were trying to look up on the laptop was the specifics of the Green Bay game in 2016, I guess it is.
Correct, Amundo.
And I guess Pro Football Talk rewrote this as it being assured that that game was going to be in London. It seems to be written based on something Ryan O'Halloran wrote in the Times Union on Sunday. And the way I read O'Halloran's blog is that he expects that to be the case and it doesn't appear that he's reporting that to be the case.
Well, here is actually, I finally navigated there, and this is from Ryan's blog from the 11th, which was Saturday, I believe.
Right.
It said, when the Jaguars are in London for the Week 7 game against Buffalo, I expect owner Shad Khan to make two announcements. A second four-year agreement with the NFL to play one home game per year in the UK, and next year's game will be against the Green Bay Packers. So he is saying, I expect that to be, but he's not saying definitively that will be the case.
Right.
But I can actually see how this one's written. I expect him to make two announcements, and next year's game will be against the Green Bay Packers. I could argue, all right.
If you're reading and writing quickly, which is what the nature of that, of what Pro Football Talk has to
right,
be.
Right, you're compiling
right.
stories from
it's
other places.
It's easy to look at that and write it quickly and report it as such.
I think there's enough wiggle room in there to say this is Ryan's expectation. He's not saying this definitively
correct.
Is going to be the case. You could look at it from PFT standpoint and say, well, his expectation is the announcement will take place during the Buffalo week, whereas right. they might read it where he's saying next year's game will be against the Packers. Either way, it's probably a pretty informed guess. I mean, because for the most part,
sense,
I mean, look at last year, Dallas, maybe the most attractive game on the schedule from a, you know, a the size of the fan base and how well they travel. As Duval Doom pointed out on Twitter, I think a lot of people agree that initially there's some trepidation about the whole plan, and I'm paraphrasing what he had to say, but now you see the boost and how everything that comes out of Shad Khan's mouth, Mark Lamping's mouth, is about stabilizing the franchise here in Jacksonville, that he's on board with it now, but that he just wishes they would take games that wouldn't necessarily sell out here, because it seems like any game you give London, it sells out right now. So if that's the case, take something else. And let's,
yeah.
And you're not going to take a division game. We understand that. Because that kind of upsets the balance of the rest of the teams
right.
in the division.
And
you've chosen
you do that,
to go there.
You're talking 1 of 5 and not 1 of 8.
Correct.
So
right, you're narrowing
tough.
Down your possibilities. There's no
right.
question about it.
And then you want to have, you don't want to have an unattractive game. And right now,
it's the NFL, John. There are no unattractive games.
True.
Have you not heard?
But right now, the Jaguars have been struggling. So you have to, in order to have an attractive game nationally, you need to have what our fans would consider an attractive team other than the Jaguars. You would hope in 2 or 3 years, once the Jaguars have established themselves and proved, that the Jaguars would carry that and you wouldn't need to necessarily have a huge name opposite them.
Correct.
But that takes time.
It does. All right, so again, in hindsight, if we could have redone the scoreboard deal, would have got you a garage door opener, me a desktop PC in here, and then maybe just, you know, what would you have to take, like an eighth of an inch off one of those boards, and we could have covered that?
Yeah, and mine is probably not even extensive as yours. I think I just need a couple of little sensor lights.
Is that all it is?
I mean, you're talking a whole new system.
I just want a new computer.
You're dealing with some stuff right now.
I like to be able to switch between pages,
a lot of tension coming from that
scroll up and down a Word document, you know, those complicated things.
Well, yes,
that I do.
You're a high maintenance guy.
Sports Illustrated did a story, actually came out last week. I missed it when it came out, but I caught it over the weekend on players that they felt were formerly overrated, who are now potentially underrated going into the season. For instance, Doug Martin was a guy they used, okay? Coming off his rookie season where he had really two monster games, but he was a very productive mm-hmm. runner. A lot of people thought, hey, this may be one of the next great feature backs in the National Football League. Hasn't worked out that way. And the pendulum swung so far in the other direction. Now you hear Dirk Cutter talking up Doug Martin. This
right.
is kind of like the guy that he likes. A lot of people are pointing to Charles Sims down there. That's just one example of a guy that, you know, when you say, well, he can't do this, he can't do this, he can't do this. Finally, you reach a point where it becomes a guy that you say, well, the expectations are so low, he's probably going to outperform them.
Right.
That's kind of what they're saying. So what they said about Blake Bortles was this. They said Bortles gained valuable experience while starting 13 games as a rookie. Unfortunately, that's about all that went right for the former number 3 draft pick in his debut season. Bortles took a league-high 55 sacks and threw 17 interceptions, and his coach recently revealed that Bortles suffered from dead arm late in the year last year. Some out there have already labeled Bortles a bust, to which we'll say, slow down. Sure, Bortles was overwhelmed in 2014, but how many quarterbacks, this is Sports Illustrated talking, how many quarterbacks would have succeeded behind the Jaguars' miserable O-line and with all the injuries they suffered at receiver? Not many. If the slump continues into year two and beyond, feel free to let the judgment fly. However, there's a legitimate chance Bortles takes a step forward come September, especially with a new running back in T.J. Yeldon and two more key additions up front in Jeremy Parnell and rookie A.J. Cann. I'll overlook the fact that they kind of brushed past Stefan Wisniewski also being added to the mix there. And you could also say, hey, they added Julius Thomas as a primary weapon in the passing game. But I just like the fact that somebody didn't just take a glance at Blake Bortles. As I think many have done, they've said, well, now, clearly, if we're going to redraft today, Teddy Bridgewater, Derek Carr, then Bortles, maybe you'd even say Carr, then Bridgewater, then Bortles, but a lot of people would have it Bridgewater, Carr, and Bortles, and those guys went significantly later. Of course, Manziel's off the radar right now.
I think if you're a fan, and if you're just looking at stats, and if you're just looking at what happened last year, then that's the easy thing to say. For people who really follow this team, I think most of the fans who really follow this team and listen to this show understand the offensive line issues, understand what has been addressed to try to put things around Blake. I think it's certainly fair to expect a more productive, efficient season out of that position. I don't want to talk stats because it's tough to know how they're going to play offensively, how much they're going to ask of him. They want to run the ball. They want to take some pressure off of him. So I don't know what the numbers will be. But I think people know when they look at the quarterback position, stats aside, if they're seeing efficient play, if they're seeing effective play, if they're seeing a guy getting them starting to get more out of what's around him. I think Blake would tell you, even considering what was around him, he wasn't happy with a lot of the things he did. But that's also to be expected from a quarterback who's a rookie, who's under pressure, who's under a lot of different things. It's rarer for it to go really, really great than to go really, really poorly.
I agree with you that locally, most people would look and be able to cite you chapter and verse. That's why I thought it was interesting.
But people actually don't have time to do that generally, so credit to this.
You're right, for all 32 teams. It looked a little bit deeper than the typical person because, John, you know, and I realize this is, you know, a fantasy audience I'm talking to, and people are thinking in those terms. But when I've really been touting, I really think T.J. Yeldon's going to be such an integral part of this offense. So I've been touting him a little bit, and I still get some of the questions like, yeah, but they can't run the ball. Well, I'm like, well, okay, yes, you're right. They couldn't run the ball last year. And it's amazing to me how many people, even people who are sports writers, will overlook some of the fundamental changes on the offensive line, some other conditions. And, you know, you mentioned this in regards to something else earlier to me off the air. You said you don't want to be naive. We don't want to get just drink the Kool-Aid and get sucked into, wow, everything feels good around here. It's going to be so much better because you kind
I'm
of...
I'm not saying they're going to go for 5.5 a carry.
I got you.
But I think they're going to be a better running team.
Better team all around.
It's your point. Right.
And last year, though, because I've made that point, coming off a four-win season, you looked at all the changes, all the additions, they're going to be better. There's no question they're going to be better this year. And then they won three games. And I get it. You can be better, and it doesn't necessarily reflect in the record. But ultimately, the record's what...
Right.
Is what keeps coaches employed or not employed, right?
Well, see, I said a lot last offseason that I thought they could be better and not have a significantly better record, even have the same record. And people didn't like that. But and I did think that that happened in a lot of cases. The record wasn't better, but I thought you could look at last season and see a lot of games where they did things for longer stretches that made you feel like they were competitive and that that was what was going to happen during the build. It would have been better for us on this show if they had squeezed a couple of more victories out of that and had a better record. But this is the year where I don't think it's enough now to be better without the record being better, clearly.
It's got to be better. The degree to which it has to be better, I think, is an open question that we'll continue to debate over the next couple of months.
You've got to feel both this year. You've got to feel like they're truly more competitive, which matters a lot, too.
But you've got to see
but you've
that
also got to
show
see
up on the
wins.
Scoreboard at the end of the game. I agree with that as well. All right, coming up next, we've got the state and football history, the drive around the NFL as well. Your call is welcome at 641 641- 1010. You can also tweet the show at MD_1010XL at John Osier. Question of the day today, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asks you this: which will be the most hotly contested position battle in training camp, in your opinion? Share your thoughts with us on that, and we'll get to those a little bit later on in the show. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday, live at Everbank. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. I'll start with the other football first, going back to 1930. Johnny, they conducted and held the World Cup for the first time ever in 1930, soccer's World Cup. Which country was the host country for a dollar?
United States, right?
Uruguay.
Oh.
The other U country.
Yeah, I had the U part right.
United.
Uruguay was my next guess.
They sound very similar. Yeah. So there you go. So 1972, you knew this because you were a longtime employee of the enemy. The Baltimore Colts owner, Carol Rosenbloom, traded franchises with Robert Irsay, owner at the time of the Los Angeles Rams. So the Rams traded for the Colts. And you would think at the time, boy, that's a pretty damn good deal for Rosenbloom. He's getting a franchise in Los Angeles, right? And now Baltimore had been one of the heritage franchises of the National Football League.
At the time, they were both big time. I mean, the Rams in the late 60s, early 70s in Los Angeles were a big, big franchise. I mean, yes, they were two elite franchises at the time. There weren't that many unelite.
The Colts were just coming off having Shula coaching. I don't know if he was still there. You know, he wasn't there in 72, obviously. He's with the Dolphins. But
72, they were 2 years removed from their Super Bowl.
Correct. Right.
So, yeah,
so that, but as it turned out, owning the Colts, I think, turned out to be a better deal than owning the Rams over the long haul. Do you agree or not?
Yeah, I mean, it went in cycles for the first. I mean, the Rams of the 70s, if you remember,
they were good, but they never won a Super Bowl. They made it to one.
They made it to one, but they were, you know, they were one of the three or four teams in the NFC who were there every year. And the Rams of the 70s were a, you know, 12-2, 11-3 team every year.
But for that stretch of Peyton Manning's career with the Colts, I think that trumps everything. You know, the consistent 10-12 win seasons every single year, winning a Super Bowl, getting to another one. I would put that in a win in the Irsay column there.
Those franchises have won Super Bowl since.
1984 on this date in football history, July 13th. Well, that's true. The Rams have as well, but in St. Louis. That's a good point. Sportscaster Howard Cosell on this date asked to be released from his duties on Monday Night Football, saying that he was tired of being tied to the football mentality.
Never be another like.
Also born on this date in 1935, former quarterback and former politician Jack Kemp, who passed away in 2009 at the age of 73. I looked at his numbers. Now, I knew Jack Kemp was a pretty good quarterback. I remember when he ran for president back in the 90s, I guess it was, maybe the late 80s, and didn't realize he was a seven-time Pro Bowler and a two-time first-team All-Pro, and I looked up some numbers. He was the Associated Press's 1965 AFL Player of the Year with 10 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, and only 2,300 yards and a 45% completion percentage in 13 games. I get the stats have changed dramatically, but the AFL was more of a wide-open passing conference. The AFL was compared to the NFL back then, and he was playing in the AFL. And to be Player of the Year, throwing 10 touchdowns and 18 picks.
Well, Buffalo had a couple of years in the AFL where they were really, really good.
He actually led them in three consecutive years, 11-2, 9-3-1, 9-4-1 in
they
those
were
three
very,
straight years.
And again, I was born in 66, so I have no personal recollection of that AFL. But they were a very good defensive team, so maybe he won it where he was sort of the big guy on a really good team, and there wasn't anybody else to sort of give it to.
Well, good for Jack Kemp. He's left us now. But
yes, he has.
He had 73 wonderful years.
Filled some time on this football.
He did, and hey, we're inside 3 weeks to the start, and then we won't need it anymore.
That's right.
And that is brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, this date in football history.
Now drive around the NFL.
Well, guys, Buffalo Bills offensive line coach Aaron Kromer, who was the offensive coordinator in Chicago the last two seasons, was arrested for battery early Sunday morning in Walton County, Florida, over in the Panhandle. According to a Facebook post about the incident by the sheriff, Kromer and his son got into an altercation with three boys in his neighborhood over the use of his beach chairs. Well, it got heated enough that Kromer threw one of the boys' fishing rods into the water, and there's more. Cromer then pushed one of the boys to the ground, punched him in the face, and then threatened to kill the boy's family if he called police. And believe it or not, Cromer was arrested later that night around 1:40 in the morning. MLB All-Star festivities are underway, and yesterday was the Legends and Celebrity Softball game. The festivities held in Cincinnati this year. So Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton took part as he approached the plate. He was welcomed to the plate by a loud chorus of boos from the crowd. It did not faze the Red Rocket as he hit two home runs in the game, two more than the amount of playoff wins he has in his career for the Red Rocket. And also, if you missed it over the weekend, new Dallas Cowboy Greg Hardy is going to play much sooner than expected. Hardy's 10-game suspension was dropped down to only 4 games by an independent arbitrator, and now that makes Hardy eligible to return to play in Week 5 against none other than the Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots.
All right, I got some thoughts on most of those stories right there, and we'll get to those coming up. But right now, let's get to the phone lines at 641-1010. Skip it across the pond to Christoph over in the UK. What's up, Chris? How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good. Yourself, Mike?
Doing well, doing well.
You guys were talking about the NFL International Series earlier in the show, and you were talking
yes.
about the opponents and stuff like that. Well, you got to remember, a lot of the international games have actually been pretty terrible. Like, my first game was the 2010 Broncos and 49ers, and if you would say to someone today, oh, you saw the Broncos and 49ers, you'd be like, you'd be thinking it's a marquee game, but that's back when, I can't even remember, I want to say Alex Smith was the quarterback in San Francisco, but he wasn't the starter, and Mike Singletary was the head coach of the 49ers back then.
Right. Yeah, but you know, you look at those, though. Those are kind of marquee franchises that, regardless of if they were great at the time, I would imagine the 49ers have one of the strongest worldwide fan bases just due to their, you know, two decades of success in the 80s and 90s, would be my guess. But go ahead.
No, it was just the thought of, I know, I understand, you know, Jacksonville fans, the hometown fans are going to be upset if it is, say, for instance, the Packers that are the visiting team at Wembley, but we've had some pretty terrible games as well. So I can understand both points of view. You know, they want to get the fans, because there's a lot of Packer fans over here. Granted, they don't know a whole lot compared to some fans over here.
But let me ask you, Chris. I mean, you've been to these games, and they've been extremely well attended. They sell out almost immediately. This point in time, with the UK's hunger for American football, couldn't you just about line up any matchup and have success selling tickets at this point in time? Now that it's been established a little bit over the last few years.
Yeah, we're all going to come out. It doesn't matter. Either way for us, it's, you know, you've seen it. It's like an event. I'm pretty sure it's pretty similar to a Super Bowl or a big, like, big playoff game or something like that. You know, it's a big party. You know, we've had some really good games. We've had, like, some marquee games, like the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Minnesota Vikings a couple of years ago was a really good game, especially because it wasn't won until the final couple minutes of the game. And last year's Atlanta versus Detroit was a really good game as well, and that was literally a last second field goal to win the game.
I got you, but, Chris. Good to hear from you, brother. We got to roll, okay?
Yeah, okay. It was nice to talk to you.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you down the road, I'm sure. Look, all that's wonderful, and I don't doubt the fact that they've gotten some bad matchups as well. But if you're a Jag fan, I don't think you really care what the overall, you know, have they. You know, been screwed on a couple of matchups in the past. Maybe that's the case. If you're a Jag fan, all you're looking at is 5 games that are in the pot, right, in the mix. You know it's not going to be a division game.
Right.
So out of those 5, you'd say, wow, you know what? If I'm just a casual fan, or what would attract the most casual fans here, I think Aaron Rodgers and company coming to town, there's no question would be a very hot ticket. And
yeah.
You hate to lose that opportunity to see, you know, arguably the greatest quarterback in the game today come in, because they don't come by very often. They don't come in here to play in Jacksonville very often.
Yeah, see, I'm in the extreme minority on this, I guess. I just remember when I was growing up, and I always have to compare how I feel as a fan or how fans feel with what, when I was a kid and young and I was passionate about the Redskins, it never really mattered to me who they were playing. I, you know, if if they were playing Dallas, if they were playing the rivalry game or the Giants, then I would get worked up because I hated the Cowboys. I was Joe Skins fan. But even when they were like, you know, if they were playing the Bills, for example, in the early 90s, in the Super Bowl, it meant a great deal. But if it was a casual game against another team, the opponent didn't matter to me as a fan.
Granted,
so,
but
I don't get that worked up. But I understand people do.
Well, there are probably a lot of fans out there the same way. Look, I'm going to support them regardless. I'm going to show up and be as passionate. But look, this isn't a team that's got a 20,000 seat waiting list,
right?
No. So you do need to attract those other people. And for you, you know, let's say it was the Bills and they weren't very good at the time, right? Well, that was one of eight games. You're going to see them all, right? And if at that time you're saying, well, here I'm watching this Bills game, why did all of a sudden we lose this game against the Raiders, you know, who maybe were really good at the time or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, again, and I didn't care about the other team.
I don't know if you would have agreed that way if you're losing one of your eight games. And if you're losing one of your eight games and saying, well, now wait a minute. Okay, we're losing one of our eight games. Why are we also losing maybe the most attractive opponent? Just again,
I can tell you, as a kid following the team, it was different because they were more established. It would have. I didn't have home game season tickets. I didn't live in Washington, but it would have bothered me a great deal as a fan if I had been in Washington, if I had lost the Dallas game, which was the big rivalry game that you hated. That would have bothered me a great deal. Any interconference game, even if it was against the best team in the league, wouldn't have bothered.
All right, let's go back to the phones.
I'm in the minority on that.
Let's get Terrence up here next. Hi, Terrence. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Ozone. Mike, we're in trouble.
What happened to positive Terrence? What happened to you?
Nah, I'm not getting too close. Nah, that positive. I don't do some thinking. Looked at our schedule. And now it's time for the conversation to come up. Who's going to be the next general manager, head coach, and quarterback?
No, it's not. It's certainly not time for that conversation, Terrence. Terrence, you've swung from the most level-headed person to the most ridiculous person in a week's time. It's been really just since the start of July. How can you possibly have that conversation when you don't even know how the season's going to play out?
Mike, you can look at the schedule. It's time to stop holding back, Mike.
Terrence.
I don't know. I don't know if Gus and Dave are going to make it back after London.
Stop. You really think the general manager is going to lose his job 7 weeks into the season?
Right. Yeah.
Terrence, answer the question. Don't just say my name. Answer the question. You think Dave Caldwell's getting fired after seven games? You really think that?
I think the coach might, but and then Dave at the end of the year. And Mike. Nah, one positive thing, though, if Blake would have played back in Jack Kemp's day now, he would have been an all-star.
With the numbers Blake put up last year, he would have been AP Offensive Player of the Year, basically. I mean, that seems
right.
Terrence, we got to run. I'm so sorry you've turned back into a pumpkin. Ding him out. Thank you, Terrence. What are you talking about?
Terrence, reach behind you. Open the window and get off the ledge.
And breathe.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, just step back into the comfort of your living room there.
I'll help you out. Here's my hand.
Oh, my goodness. You know, look, that may become a conversation. I'm not going to have that conversation now. Two months before they play a single game, look at the schedule. You can say look at the schedule every single year.
Yep.
Okay? I don't think I know Carolina went to the playoffs last year. I don't think a 7-8-1 team should be all that daunting coming in here. I don't think the same Miami team that the Jags went toe to toe with last year, but for some bad pick sixes thrown by their rookie quarterback, could have won that game. Mm-hmm. And look, again, we're not going to rehash the whole thing. I'm just sad to see positive Terrence go. It was crazy, John. For 6 months, Terrence had turned into a new person.
He's in a dark place.
Now that July is here, he has gone back to a dark place. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. 641-1010 is the number. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories. Check them out at Guns 4 Jacks, Guns the numeral 4, JAX.com, or visit them at South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
You could cut ties with all the lies. This one's for Terrence. Oh, my goodness. What happened to him, Tyler? He was so positive. He had turned over a new leaf. I didn't recognize it, quite frankly. It was refreshing. Maybe he was, I don't know, maybe he had some good things going on in his love life. I don't know.
Just an arbitrary bad time he's having.
Just now he's just like, ah, I've looked at the schedule. And now I realize the Jags are going to be forced to play 16 games this year. How are they possibly going to hold up?
And it's not an easy schedule, but at some point...
What is?
Yeah, you've got, as you get better, you've got to be that team that's surprising people nationally first, when this team gets going, it will be a story because they've been down for a long time. But you've got to start beating teams that in the past you didn't think you would beat. And that's what the next step of this is.
I saw from Steve Phillips on Twitter said Terrence is still his favorite caller.
I like Terrence.
Terrence is fun. Terrence is fun and engaging and all that. He's just Mr. Depressed. And,
I just hope he's okay.
Well, you know, look, if you know what solved Terrence's problems? If they got Brian Lefferts back, they'd be fine.
He's
still not over that. Okay, yes, he's still hung up on that as the curse of the franchise. Christoph at Stoffel's Prime on Twitter points out nothing to stop them from taking division game as the Dolphins lost the Jets game this year. That's true. I was looking back in my memory banks. We didn't think there'd been any division games played, and there hadn't been.
Right.
But the Jets will play the Dolphins in a division game, and as you said a moment ago off the air, it's kind of a toe in the water kind of situation. Let's see how this plays out.
Yeah, and you know, it wouldn't shock me to see an AFC South game played over there. I mean, I guess nothing would surprise me on that front. I think they are trying to figure out the right combination, and the only way to do it is sort of by trial and error in time.
Yes.
So,
well, look, we know this. It's going to continue in one form or another.
Right.
And I have no doubt that Ryan is correct. Whether the timing of the announcement happens during that week, that's a likelihood during the Buffalo week. I have no doubt in my mind. That doesn't mean I'm right, but I have no doubt. I don't doubt for a second that the Jags will extend this agreement to play one game per year. The question is how many years will they extend it?
It was sort of reported as news because, again, the person aggregating the copy or rewriting the story for Pro Football Talk sort of took it as news. It's a slow time. Shad said in London last year that he hopes to extend the
agreement. Absolutely. And he said continually since then.
For fans of the Jaguars who follow, when they saw that story, they looked and saw it and immediately saw there was really nothing new. I mean, this is something that Shad Khan wants to happen. It hasn't been announced yet. But I think everybody would be very surprised if it doesn't extend.
That's all I'm saying. Right. We've been set up to not set up, but the groundwork has been laid. We should expect this to happen. And if it doesn't, at this point, it would be a major surprise if it were not to happen. And I personally am fine with that. However people feel about that is their prerogative. I'm more interested to see, you know, what will the amenities be? Will they be playing in a new locale, you know, in Tottenham, or, you know, will Wembley extend their own deal? What is the NFL going to do now? Some talk, there may be some games in Germany, and on and on. I think, you know, Shad Khan loves London. He loves the city. I don't think he's looking to play in Stuttgart necessarily.
Right.
So,
I think a very interesting thing is when will the first time, I don't know if it'll be this franchise, you've got to think at some point they will experiment with the away game 1 week, home game the next week, to see if that can work in terms of an option to have some teams play that back-to-back, only lose one home game. Because I think fans would be okay with losing an away game. They don't really care about that. It'll be intriguing to see if what team experiments with that first, and if that helps the competitive nature, helps the adjustment, if that's something that can start happening more often.
I hear a couple of texts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. One actually addressed the question of the day, which is where do you think the biggest position battle, the most heated position battle will come from? They said beside the obvious running back battle, which I don't think – well, there may be a competition technically, but I think the rookie is the guy they want to win that battle. I expect there to be serious competition going on between pretty much the entire secondary, all right? These in – one said, Terrence represents all the Jaguar fans that I know. seesaw fandom, up and down, up and down. That's that person's perspective.
It's fans of most teams.
Yeah. This other person said, Jericho said that Terrence is an idiot. Pass that out along, Terrence. I'm sure it's nothing I haven't called you myself in the past. Terrence knows that. The worst mistake this team can make is to fire the GM or head coach, barring a complete collapse. This regime should get one more year at least. Real Jag fans have the patience to weather the storm. Hashtag Jaguars today, LOL.
I think this is a fascinating season for that, because it's very interesting to look at this roster right now. And I think it was Fat Tony I was talking to last week about it on the air. It has the potential, this rookie class of last year, when you start looking at guys like Telvin Smith and Colvin and Blake Bortles, any number of guys, all of a sudden, there's a lot of guys in that class, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns, who look like by the end of this year, we might be sitting on this show on January 3rd next year and saying, boy, Brandon Linder, boom, boom, boom. It looks like you could have five or six guys who the team and the fans feel really good about.
And the key to that, I think, are guys like Telvin, Colvin, and Hurns. All right, you expect, at least I expect, you draft a guy, particularly on a team that struggled in the first three rounds.
Yep.
Eventually, you're drafting a starter. Okay, so.
But that hasn't been the case.
True.
But
those right. guys, like if Allen Robinson turns out to be a good long-term starter, well, that's kind of what Suppose you're expecting
sure.
to get. The reason Seattle's been so successful, and that's the comparison that we will continue to make, is because they found those Cam Chancellors and those Richard
right.
Shermans beyond the third round, and guys who turned into stars. I think Telvin Smith and Aaron Colvin could be stars
Look
in
like,
this league if
right.
they, you know, if they realize their full potential. And Allen Hurns, whether he's a star or not, was the most accomplished receiver that they had as a rookie last year.
He certainly looks like he has a good chance to be a productive, reliable player for a long time. When you have the kind of year he had at that position, it looks like he could be productive and reliable. You don't have to have every guy you acquire be a star, but if you can rely on the guy, point being, if at the end of this year, whatever the record, barring obviously a disaster, if that core,
what's a disaster?
You know, 13, 12 losses. You know, and it's a disaster. But in light of where they want to be going to, you want to improve. I guess disaster is a bad word because, you know, injuries, whatever. A disastrous season hurts in any situation, not just this one. But they need to improve. So, but if you get that situation we talked about where you look at this draft class and see that there is a core starting to develop, then it's awfully hard to make a change because do you want to start over and try to rebuild the core?
Yeah, I would bet long odds, or I'd put long odds on there being any kind of change in
yeah.
the front office and coaching. I mean, there may be assistant. There's always the potential for assistant coaches to turn over, but in terms of the head coach, the GM, I think it's extremely long odds that we're not talking about the same two guys being in charge at this time next year.
Because the youth on this team, it feels like it's the right direction, and a change of direction again, boy.
Couple quick notes here on some of these other stories around the National
again,
Football League.
All this, I want to clarify here, Mike, all this is responding to Terrence's call.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Nobody here is suggesting.
I don't think this is something that's going to be a story.
Correct. I would agree with you. Now they start 0-7.
Sure.
I think the head coach becomes a story much sooner than the GM does.
Well,
in most
I say
circumstances,
story. It's going to be a story until they play well enough to make it not a story. I think it's not a reality.
Gotcha.
So
well, we'll see if they
sure.
if they start 0-7. I
sure.
think everything's on the table, but I don't expect that to happen.
Right.
You know. All right, around the NFL, this Aaron Cromer story, the offensive line coach at the Buffalo Bills. First, we keep hearing he punched a kid. For all we know, the kid is 16, 17 years old, and, you know, for all we know, he looks like a full-grown man. I don't know.
Right.
I'm going to play devil's advocate and give him the benefit of the doubt in this situation. Let's say some punks come along, they steal their chairs, right, which is alleged, and then they go to get them, and they're mouthing off, and they're maybe, you know, acting in a threatening manner, and okay, but do you then you know, just go to the degree, okay, you threw the fishing rod in the water, all right, you're a little ticked off. Now you push one of them down. Were you really under, what kind of threat were you under here? Then you punch one of them, allegedly, if all this stuff happened, and then you threaten to kill their families if they tell anybody. I can see getting into an altercation if you got some, hey, look, there are some big 16, 17-year-old kids out there, right? I could see getting into even a physical altercation if they're threatening you and all that. If what's been laid out in this report turns out to be mostly true, he's done, isn't he? He can't coach in Buffalo this year.
You know, you hate to speculate because so much of this is it's such a strange story. But yeah, certainly if it's laid out, if it happened the way it's being laid out, which is sort of, the way the story is being written is slanting him to look like, you know, very much in the wrong.
Right. Well, basically an out of control rageaholic.
Right. Then obviously you wouldn't think he would be back with Buffalo, but my experience with reading police reports and reporting this sort of thing is you have to be careful of assuming that it's being portrayed correctly.
That's true. I'm just saying if. So we'll see how that whole thing plays out over the next few weeks before training camp opens up for the Buffalo Bills as well. The story with Andy Dalton getting booed. Wait, we've compared Blake Bortles, at least I have, to Andy Dalton before and to Matt Ryan and guys like that, that all of a sudden they get a franchise to a certain level of success and then they hit the ceiling, so it seems, and how quickly, like Cincinnati fans after 4 years, I don't know if that's quick or not, but there's a certain percentage of them that are turning on Andy Dalton now.
There was a period in the 90s Cincinnati fans would have loved this.
That's my point.
This stretch.
You know, you would, as a Jaguar fan, you sit here and you'd say, man, if we go to the playoffs for the next 4 years, I'd be happy as could
be. About what? 11, 12, 13, 14, 4 years.
Right.
In the playoffs. Right.
Four consecutive years, he's never won a game in the playoffs. And so, you know, the bar does shift. But to go from going to the playoffs every year to getting booed, at being announced at like a celebrity softball game, pretty significantly booed. I mean, Blake Bortles statistically was terrible last year. If Blake Bortles were to show up at a celebrity softball game in Jacksonville, I don't know what the decibel level would be, but he'd get the biggest cheers of anyone in the city, maybe outside of Shad Khan.
Yeah, I think that was probably the case with Andy Dalton in his first year, too.
Might have been.
It's just fans are going to fan.
They are going to do that, aren't
they? Fans going to fan.
This last one in from Ed Werder. Ed Werder reporting that Dez Bryant personally called Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones to say that he will not attend training camp. He will miss real games unless signed by this Wednesday, which is the deadline to sign a franchise tag player to a long-term extension. Every report you hear seems to indicate there's no movement on that front with Dallas, but now he's saying, I'm serious about this, despite the fact, see, they think he's bluffing. There's been some speculation that he can't even afford to skip the per diem at training camp. Seriously, that he's not going to turn down $750,000 per game during the regular season over principle. I know I wouldn't, and we'll see, but he's certainly putting that out there now, and if he blinks, then Dallas is going to have him over a barrel as far as long-term contract negotiation, I think.
The one great truth, and I'll credit Pete Prisco with saying this often, every time you miss a game like that, you leave money on the table you never get back.
Nope, I agree.
So maybe he'll do it, but most of them don't.
Right. I mean, look, Emmitt Smith missed a couple of games. Cowboys started 0-2. As the defending Super Bowl champs, and Jerry blinked and gave him the contract, then maybe he probably did end up making more money in those last 14 games than he would have in the full 16 under the old contract, but doesn't usually work out that way.
Right.
Right.
As Pete always says, he's gonna play.
That's what he says. That's what he says. And this one in for you for Terrence from Corey. He says, I think Terrence has a legitimate point. I hope he's wrong. We're tired of being told to be patient. We work hard for our money. I want wins. I don't doubt that you want wins and you're tired of being patient. But to sit here now and say all of a sudden, oh, I looked at the schedule, we got no chance, by week 7, everyone's fired. I just don't see that. And if you do, then you do think Terrence has a legitimate chance. But that's his expectation. It's not mine right now. We got a long way to go till the season gets here.
Maybe he's right. We'll find out.
Who knows? 641-1010 if you'd like to get in the fan feedback spotlight. We look at next, which position battle will be the most hotly contested in training camp for the Jaguars. We'll get your responses to that coming up on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, coming down the home stretch here, Jaguars today. Dave Caldwell just popped by. This is a true story. He just did pop by.
He did pop by.
I informed him what Terrence had to say. He asked me who Terrence was.
Yep.
And then I told him he does not sign your paycheck. And I think a visible wave of relief washed over Dave Caldwell.
Yeah.
I don't think he's sweating it. I think he's working on
he's fine.
Making his team good.
Yeah, and like we talked about during the break, that's what's nice about Dave is he sort of gets that there are fans who, he gets there's going to be ebbs and flows in, and
you don't take it personally.
Highs and lows in all the expectations and the outcry and all that. I mean, he gets it.
Tony and I have said it many times. First time we spoke with Dave Caldwell was at an interview at the Super Bowl right after he got hired on Radio Row. And, right out of the gate, we're like, ha-ha, who are you taking with the second pick? And he goes, not a punter. And you knew right then, okay, we got a guy. This is a different breed than we've had around here.
And I think there are more guys like David getting into the business coming up and seeing that it doesn't have to be absolute life and death, protective of every little piece of information the way it perhaps was 15, 20 years ago.
And now, if it's a true important piece, like
absolutely.
His interest in Blake Bortles, he is able to play poker face and keep that close to the vest. But
which he should,
right?
But,
exactly.
A little things, and fans of this show and avid listeners of this show understand this, the access and the reaching out to fans and trying to have the fans be a part of the organization is a lot more than lip service with Dave Caldwell and Gus. I mean, same cloth.
I missed you Friday. Friday's brought to you by Caldwell and Cadillac. I missed everybody on Friday. Just wanted to point out for folks out there, since 1905, Caldwell and Cadillac serving as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida. They've got an on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair any model. And also the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville with absolutely no dealer fees. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac, well, they can be yours. They're only one step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to claudenolan.com or visit them at 4700 Southside Boulevard. Call 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac, one of our great sponsors here on Jaguars Today. John, as you look at the position battles that are upcoming in training camp, what are the ones you really are going to be focusing on? Let's just quickly go through.
A quick thought first. You mentioned running back earlier. I'm kind of with you. I think ideally they would love for T.J. Yeldon to be that guy. In reference to that underrated, overrated thing we're talking about with Blake Bortles,
yes.
I sort of wonder if Toby Gerhart won't fit into that a little bit this year. Maybe a bit overrated going into last year.
Pendulum has swung completely now, right?
I think right now, if people are thinking that he's not a factor, then he's being underrated. So I think he could be a guy who surprises people and plays more to what they thought he might play last year, this year, if you follow me. In terms of battles, I think safety is obviously a battle. If Sample can get back in there healthy, I think the cornerback position is going to be interesting. I don't know that the starters will change, but I think they're going to be very deep. And I think they got four good players at corner who they're going to feel really, really good about. The battles, I think, would be interior offensive line, how that shapes out.
Primarily center.
A.J. can a little bit. It'll be interesting to see. Like last year, remember, you didn't really think it was a battle at center until all of a sudden that first week it was, whoa, we got a battle here at center,
right?
Because this has to be fixed. I don't think there's that sort of position on this team this year, but once those pads go on the offensive line, the storylines can change in a hurry. And the things we're talking about now in the ozone and on this show can all of a sudden become very big topics with one comment from Gus saying, I might need to look at right guard or right, left, go, you know.
Right.
I'm just using that as
throwing right. an example.
But
out
might
there.
Need to look at position X. Oh, really? Well, all of a sudden you got a battle. So I think the interior offensive line is going to be one to watch for the first week and a half or so to see if there's any shakeup.
There. What about the Leo spot?
I think Chris Clemens, I'd be surprised if he's not. I mean,
any
I,
chance that Andre Branch could supplant him there?
There's always a chance, but I doubt it.
You don't expect, okay.
I don't think he's going to supplant. What could be interesting is, at the end of the season, has playing time shifted any? If that, you know,
as the season goes on,
yeah,
right, has it become more?
Chris played, the number escapes me, but I think as much as any player on the team last year on the defensive line, I think he had the most snaps, maybe him and Sendarek right even. Does that, if Andre's healthy the whole season, is that a lot closer? Is it more of a rotation with Chris Smith working in, Ryan Day? You know, I think you could see not quite as extensive a role in terms of full-time snaps for Chris, but I think he'll start.
All right, here are some of the responses we got to the Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking you which position battle will be the most hotly contested. Mike Kay, right out of the box, he had one that is definitely a hot matchup, the Sun versus the Beat Riders. Although, you know,
yeah, I'll lose. I mean, if you're throwing me in there, I'll lose.
I don't know.
Hey, big hat.
You've got the large, large hat and
hat.
Access to cold bottled water. I think you'll be all right.
I'm not a fighter.
Have you ever been overcome by the heat ever in the history of
to go down or to
maybe take a knee? I don't know. A little woozy.
I don't think so.
You're a tough guy. I think you're going to do fine in that one. Brad Edgen went with center, says they could both play, and a free safety sample better come on and come in hungry. Colby Wacker went with Can versus Beatles. I just think my gut tells me, and this that's all it is a guess, really. I just have a hunch, I guess, we'll put it that way, that Beatles is going to perform better in training camp. He's going to build on some momentum he had last year. Maybe the push from AJ Camp being on the roster will help, but I'd be surprised. I personally would be surprised if he's not the opening day starter.
I agree with you because I think philosophically this franchise wants to not be pushing rookies into the lineup as fast as they had to the last couple of years. I think if it's close, they would rather have the veteran in there to sort of let the rookie and the young guy into the starting lineup happen more organically.
Couple more. Kyle T said the interior of the O-line should be a great battle. Linder, Beatles, Bowanko, Wisniewski, Can battling will be fun to watch. I think, you know.
Yeah, there's Linder, no battle Linder, involving
right.
Linder.
Linder's going to show up, and unless he regresses or, you know, gets injured, I don't think there's any issue with him.
Yeah, it's been said before, he's as rock solid as any player they have, and I think he's a Pro Bowler over the course of time.
Also, Cameron Franklin went with either the slot or cornerback. I mean, if you want to look at it, you could argue we didn't mention Allen Hurns versus Marquise Lee in two wide receiver sets, right? So only one guy could be out there opposite Allen Robinson, who we all feel is going to be one of those guys. And
I think if Marquise is healthy, then I think it's Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. I'm not quite as quick to jump off the Marquise bandwagon as some observers were, just because he missed OTAs.
As a pendulum swung, is he now underrated as well? Hard to say.
I'm dizzy right now.
Let's see. Black Dog said I was going to say wide receiver until I counted five running backs, at least five. Yeah, but not many of those guys are going to be battling. David Jay said the same thing. I feel running back will be the most intriguing battle. A weakness last year becomes a strength. I'll be very surprised if T.J. Yeldon's not the primary ball carrier, and they will be too, okay? They, meaning the coaching staff, the front office, everybody.
Certainly, I'd be surprised if that's not the case quickly. Opening day, could there be?
I'd be surprised.
Yeah, could there be one of those where on opening day, different guys starting?
Maybe.
The big rotation, I don't know. But running back beyond T.J. is one of those positions where all of a sudden – in training camp, once pads go on in preseason games, where on Monday after preseason games, people are going, whoa, what's going on here? Yeah, I mean, if there's a huge production day, then guys can force people to rethink at that position. Although, again, I'd be surprised if it's not Yeldon Gerhardt.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. What do you got coming up on Jaguars.com?
Jaguars.com Live Wednesday, we're looking forward to. Not sure who the guest will be. I'll have five free agents to watch later on this week, maybe today. And I'll be lumping
free agents. You mean the guys who are available now, or free agents that they've signed?
That they've signed. Gotcha. Guys who are newcomers, and mainly just breaking down that bunch and sort of talking a little Julius Thomas.
There you go, and figure out a way we can swing a deal for Dez Bryant and get him in here as well.
Does Dez fix garage doors?
If you pay him enough, I bet he
would. Well, yeah, if he misses his first couple of games, he might, right?
Talk to my people. I'll see if I can get this thing done. All right, for Johnny O, for Tyler Devitt, for the vacationing Fat Tony, and for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for us on Jaguars Today on this Monday, brought to you every Monday by Wild West Guns and Gold. Back at it again tomorrow, XL Primetime, coming up next, so don't go anywhere. You're locked into 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.